brought to you by StreamingDigitalMedia.com.
Welcome to On the Edge, harness racing's most listened to podcast. I'm your host, Harold Howe. It's February, but nobody's thinking yearlings unless you're in the Southern Hemisphere, and that's where our program takes us today. Bruce Barless is one of the managers of the Standardbred division of PGG Wrightson, the company which operates yearling auctions in New Zealand. Bruce has been a guest in past years, and we welcome him back. Good to talk to you, Bruce.
How are you, Harold? Yeah, it's great. I've got to say, normally we touch on the weather to start with, but we haven't had the best of summers. It's been actually quite moist this year. Most people are complaining a wee bit, but yeah, it's been a good year for the grass and for the horses down here.
I should tell you my heart bleeds for you, but I won't. Anyway, let's start off and talk about racing. To put things in perspective, how's the state of the game for 2010 in your country?
I think, Harold, the world has suffered this recession, but from what I can gather of it, in the Southern Hemisphere, Australia, New Zealand, we have had nowhere near the impact economically or racing-wise that you guys have had up in, certainly in America and in Canada. Great news I see in our official publication out today that the managing board of racing for New Zealand has a 5 months into its financial year has a surplus over budget that it is going to distribute in the next month or two already. So that's extremely positive. Yeah, I suppose the economic downturn's impact on racing in New Zealand has been that we have seen on some tracks a reduction in stakes. What they've tried to do is certainly at Addington, our premier South Island track, they have tried to limit it mainly to the larger stakes where they felt they could make an adjustment and save, if you like, the basic stake, the grassroots stake, the maiden race stake, and keep it at the good level that they'd got it to. Auckland, on the other hand, Alexandra Park Trotting Club, they've been able to really stay right where they are. In fact, I saw just earlier this week their Auckland Cup Carnival, which goes off in March. They're advertising their $25,000 minimums across the card, plus $2.5 million races. So, you know, they have other business interests, which they have been developing over the last 10 to 15 years, and I think those other interests have come to fruition for them in difficult times. Addington's probably still another 10 years away from having the business park that they are developing down their back straight as another income earner for the racing product.
If I just might move on here, you have two auctions to conduct in the wake of that, or in the shadow of that. On February 15th, you have the Australasian Classic in Auckland, followed by the New Zealand Premier Sale, which is a three-day auction in Christchurch. How do you feel about the catalogs relative to other years?
Every year, the level of stallions that we get coming forward improves. Harold, there is one thing with our catalog that just keeps driving it every year, and that is repeat business. And I suppose we can all think of the 80-20 equations. I think they're probably even stronger with us. 10% of our clients come back and buy 90% of our product every year, and that's pretty much what happens year in, year out. And look, this year, it's no different. Well, it is a bit. It's even better. We have had just a tremendous run going into the sales. Monkey King, the star performer, he was one of our graduates. We've recently had Better Strike, who's won a Victoria Cup. We had with Sharky, who's won a West Australian Cup. We've got the two best trotters in Australasia, Sundon's Gift and Sky Valley, all sale graduates. It's going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks. We've got a race in Victoria in Australia, the Victorian Derby. And two or three, not including our best horse, Smiling Shard, who was a sales graduate, but two of our other three-year-olds have gone across to have a go at the Victorian Derby. They're going to come up against the Australian two-year-old of the year, Renaissance Man, and another sales horse from New Zealand in Lanikos. Now, that's going to be a bit of a showdown as to who comes out with some bragging rights, certainly in superiority of the three-year-old. So, but our sales horses are just in there doing it all the time, and look, at it. It's an unbelievable result. As I say, it almost cements us people coming back to look again this year.
North Americans are always talking about first crop sires. It's like when you were dating. That next girlfriend has got to be better than the one you've got, whether it's true or not. You've got a few first crop sires, not an abundance of them, but you've got American Ideal and Real Desire, and there's a sprinkling from Majestic Sun. Are your buyers enthusiastic about the new kid on the block, so to speak?
I think, Harold, we've probably got such an array of sires this year that the new guys will be looked at, but I don't see too much sensational hype around them. I think if you look at some of the issues that we've got stallion wise, we've got Christian Cullen, whose stud fee's gone to 25,000 NZ now. The backlash of that is, and it seems a strange one, but my North Island breeders have stepped away from him. I've got only 12 of his progeny up north in the sales, but in the South Island, I think we've got about 65 of them. So that's going to be interesting, because he's been the highest-priced average stallion for a number of years. Sales breeders and vendors have benefited hugely by selling his progeny. So it'll be interesting to see how that drop in numbers up north affects him. But, you know, as I say, we've got a backup in a multitude of stallions. Betters Delight, Mac 3, McCardle, the trotting sire, Sundon, Falcon Sealster, believe it or not, the old fella is still producing it. Just produced a very smart two-year-old filly here at Addington yesterday. And the big, another one there, Grin from Ear to Ear, he's got our best two- and three-year-old of last year, now three-year-old Smiling Shard. And Art Major is going to probably be the one that swings it. Not for us, because we only have a dozen of them, but he has sort of 80-odd progeny to sell in Australia, and that's going to be an interesting one. There's a lot of hype around Art Major's two-year-olds.
Have you got a sense about the breeding season, which you're just finishing up as we speak? Have the numbers held up from what the stud farms are telling you?
I think we're developing a wee bit like society, the two levels. Certainly all those sires and some of them that I've just been reeling off names to you, you know, Betters Delight, Mac 3, McCardle, Grin from Ear to Ear, Art Major, they have all been extremely well supported. Behind that, there is a drop-off at that bottom, at that lower end. But I'm also on our sire stakes board here, which runs a lot of the classic racing, and what we're seeing is just a continued emphasis on going to the better stallions with the better mares. The numbers may be falling away slightly, as they've been doing in a trend for 10 to 15 years, but in saying that, the quality end keeps holding up, and that seems to be the thing that's driving the industry forward.
So in summation, I get the impression, and you really didn't say this, but I'm reading between the lines, your overall economy in New Zealand, it's okay. The breeding industry seems to be close to holding its own. There's a lot of good things that have happened on the racetrack for New Zealand horses, and the enthusiasm for horse ownership is at least holding its own.
One of the new things, and I don't know the trend in North America, Harold, but one of the things that really is helping ownership down here is group ownership. So many of the trainers, we've tried to encourage it over the years, have picked up this idea of putting three, four different owners into three or four different horses, sharing the cost, sharing the risk. And you know, the thing that comes out of it, and it's a pretty simple bit of human nature, is you magnify the result when you do have a bit of good fortune. You're in a group of people. We're seeing it everywhere. Groups of owners enjoying the racing game, and sharing the risks, sharing the losses, sharing the wins, you know, but it's all about having that fun, and it's happening with all of our trainers. And you look at most of our top horses, there's groups of owners within them. I think from a sale point of view, yeah, last year we were back 10%, the thoroughbreds in this country were back 30%. There's a chance that we could be back 5 or 10% again this year, Harold. I'm hoping it's closer to 5 in our average price. But I think there is a mentality amongst people now that, and I use the terminology kicking goals. If you can kick a goal and make the sale, move on, continue your business, then in today's environment, that's a very, very good place to be. And I think most people have actually taken that sort of ground before, whereas maybe in the past we've been used to saying, well, no, hey, I'm going to hold out because this is not the profit that I wanted in this horse. And sometimes, you know, Harold, that's a great scenario for putting a good sale together, than when you've got vendors that are prepared to say, hey, I'm going to meet the market, and buyers that are prepared to say, there's going to be some opportunities here. So, I think we're looking for a reasonable clearance, and that was the thing that came out of the Magic Million thoroughbred sales just 2 weeks ago in Queensland in Australia. A lot of people were saying it wouldn't be a good sale at all, and they've actually ended up with an 80% clearance rate, which, hey, you know, who knows the value of these horses? Maybe some people have got a bargain, maybe some people have paid too much again. Nothing's changed.
You're also involved in private sales. Is the market strong for going horses?
I don't see too many going up to North America at the moment.
How about domestically?
Domestically, you actually can't find, difficult to find, horses to sell. More and more people in this country are wanting to hold on and race for the opportunities. And you know, we've got a plane link now between the South Island out of Christchurch into Australia. And that virtually makes Australia another province of this country. It's only a 3-hour flight away, and you know, they've got huge opportunities over there. So, you know, like I, as a racing product, a good horse has far more opportunities than it can actually take up. So, you know, like what happens with that is you actually get owners or horses sharing the spoils, and more people taking part, more people having a go, and you know, every good horse doesn't compete in every big race. So, I see that whole scenario in this country being a benefit to us.
Now, and just in conclusion, one thing I wanted to get a thought from you on, just moving away from the sale. We've read about this report of the suggestion of merging all the different racing codes under one umbrella. Would it be a good thing?
I have heard it's worked extremely well in West Australia. West Australia is almost like a little country on itself, way over there on the far side of miles from anywhere, but it's worked very well there. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of old blood that needs to be broken down to get something like that to work. Basically, though, we're almost in that situation here in this country already, whereby we do have a New Zealand Racing Board who manages the totalisator for us. So they have the final say in the main say, and then it's just up to the three racing codes, the greyhounds, the harness, and the thoroughbreds to disperse their money. You know, there's a nervousness about harness racing, because thoroughbreds in this country would have certainly half the say, if you like, and that's the sort of nervous feeling that they take from it. But I think managing things as a business has to be the way forward. I just mentioned earlier that the racing board has announced a profit in the first 5 months of this year that they're going to disperse to clubs immediately. Yeah, look, I think it's got great benefits, but certainly, you know, each code needs to be able to be protected, and I think that's something that possibly in this country can be done because our racing is a legislated act. So as long as those legislated rights are kept in place, then I think there is a possibility for it.
All interesting stuff, Bruce. You enlightened us again, and hey, it looks like you know, you're positioned nicely for your sale. We wish you luck, and thank you for giving us some insight.
Thanks, Harold, and all the best to your listeners.
And to our listeners, tune in for another edition of On the Edge.